O best among men, Arjuna, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress, and is steady in both, is certainly eligible for liberation, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Anyone who is steady in his determination for the advanced stage of spiritual realization and can equally tolerate the onslaughts of the distress and happiness is certainly a person eligible for liberation. In the Varnashram Institution, the fourth stage of life, namely the renounced order, is a painstaking situation. But one who is serious about making his present life perfect surely adopts the sannyas order of life in spite of all difficulties. The difficulties usually arise from having to sever family relationships, to give up the connection of wife and children. But if anyone is able to tolerate such difficulties, surely his path to spiritual realization is complete. Similarly, in Arjuna's discharge of duties as a kshatriya, he is advised to persevere, even if it is difficult to fight with his family members or similarly beloved persons. Lord Chaitanya took sannyas at the age of 24, and his dependents, young wife as well as old mother, had no one else to look after them. Yet for a higher cause, he took sannyas and was steady in the discharge of higher duties. That is the way of achieving liberation from material bondage. O best among men, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress and is steady in both is certainly eligible for liberation. Om Agyanta Nidandasya Jnananjana Chadakaya Chakshurum Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guru Penama Vansha Kalpata Rubyas Chakripa Sindhubya Eva Cha Patithanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. I am so happy to be sitting amongst all of you in Sri Sri Radha Das Bihari Mandir. The temple, perhaps in all the world, that our beloved Guru Maharaj, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, put most effort and of His sacred life's energy in developing. Srila Prabhupada began his divine mission to his Guru Maharaj from here in Bombay. After living for many years in Vrindavan Dham, preparing himself in deep prayer at the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, and the previous acharyas, engrossed in translation of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he decided that the best place to prepare for his disembarkation to America was from Bombay. And after his famous and most blessed journey across the Atlantic on the Jaladutta steamship. He arrived in New York. He knew no one. He had no support. He only had faith in the order of his guru, an implicit faith in the sound of Krishna's holy name. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
This was his only capital, the holy name of Krishna and faith in the order of Gurudev. Because Namachintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, all the power and all the glory of God is within the holy name. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada understood that there was nothing else required. On the basis of the chanting of the name of Krishna, all success can be achieved, and the whole world could be liberated. This was the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Harinama, harinama, harinama eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gatiranyata, priti viti achyata, nagaradigram, sarvatra prachara, hoybi moranam. That it is only through the chanting of the holy name of Lord Hari that we can achieve the ultimate destination of Krishna Bhakti in this age of Kali. And Mahaprabhu ordered that in every town and every village throughout this world, the holy name of Krishna must be chanted. Srila Prabhupada had that faith, and that was all that was required. Soon, thousands of people from all over the world were surrendering their lives at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Krishna through the divine message of Srila Prabhupada. And people of all castes, of all nations, of all castes, religions, and creeds were coming together to chant the holy names in great joy. Something that was never done before in history. And he returned here to Bombay, which he personally called his office. Vrindavan was his home, Mayapur was his place of worship, and Bombay was his office. By the way, Bombay is a dham. According to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, during his South Indian tour, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this place. At that time it was called Dwaipayana, but it is this exact location of Bombay. And here, he blessed the land with his lotus feet, dancing in divine ecstasy and inducing everyone to chant the holy name. Know how special this place was to Guru Maharaj. I spoke with Satsarup Goswami Maharaj after he did all his complete preparation for writing Srila Prabhupada's biography. And he told me from the time in 1965 to the time Srila Prabhupada departed from this world, he spent more time in Bombay than any city in the entire world. Srila Prabhupada had infinite love for all living beings. but he had very special love for the citizens of Bombay. And for this reason, he went through the most impossible austerities with the most treacherous opposition, bringing in more funds than any other place he ever developed to build this temple of Sri Sri Radharas Bihari Mandir. I'm sorry, pretty well. When all odds were against him, he worshipped the deities in a little thatched hut in the forest here, praying, "Please, let us build this temple as an offering to your lotus feet." So due to inconceivable circumstances, by higher powers, I have not given a class here at Radharas Bihari Mandir for 7 years until today. So on this day, I am eternally grateful for Bhima Prabhu, Rasaraj Prabhu, Amar Maharaj, and all of you for allowing me the chance to come back to this sacred place to offer you some little service by offering you all the words of my Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, Lord Sri Krishna is explaining that in the path of devotional service, one must rise above the dualities of material existence. And what does this mean? Until we are completely liberated and purified, we will be influenced by happiness and distress, by pleasure and pain, by honor and dishonor, by success and failure. But those who are truly on the path of devotion, they do not concern themselves for these things. Vyavashayatma kabudhir ekeha kuru nandana bahushaka yanantascha budhayo vyavashayanam. Their only aim is to execute the will of Krishna and Guru. Atapum dir vijastrestas varana shvama vibhagasha svanushtatasya dharmasya samsadir haritosha. Their only desire is not to enjoy, but to please Krishna. Because that is the only way of attracting the mercy of Krishna. To be the servant of the servant of his servants. In the scriptures we find so many wonderful examples of such personalities who in the face of the greatest difficulties would never give up their service to the Lord. One prominent example that comes to mind is that of Srila Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur, although he was born in an outcast family by material standards, he had one aim in life. He understood the essence and goal of all scriptures, and that was to purify one's heart and to please Krishna by always chanting his holy names. So Haridas, he was chanting minimum of 300,000 names of Krishna each day before he would take a morsel of food or a drop of water. And wherever he went, he would induce everyone, anyone, with no discrimination, please, do not waste your life simply decorating your dying bodies. Do not waste your life in deep sleep, trying to enjoy like the animals. Perfect your consciousness. Awaken your divine love by chanting the holy names. But Haridas became simultaneously loved and hated. It is the nature of a real saintly person that he attracts the love of the innocent and the most tremendous envy from the envious. So, Thakur Haridas, thousands upon thousands of people were coming and taking shelter of his lotus feet. Even the most degraded prostitutes, they gave away all of their possessions. Some of them even shaved their heads and took a vow to chant 300,000 times the names of Krishna. Nobody could resist his compassion. Because you see, a real preacher of the Lord's holy name has to imbibe genuine concern and compassion for the spiritual suffering of the conditioned souls. It is that compassion that opens a person's heart to receive the mercy of Krishna, which comes through the holy name. When Srila Prabhupada first came to the West, when he was giving lectures, most of the devotees could hardly understand what he was saying because they had never heard an Indian accent before. But he had so much concern, so much compassion and love for each and every one of them individually, that they just wanted to be with him, they wanted to hear him, and they wanted to surrender to whatever he was teaching. And when he injected, by his divine grace, the pure, unalloyed philosophy of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, their hearts changed. And they surrendered, abandoned all sinful activities, and took to the supreme process of self-realization, of chanting the holy names of
Krishna.
And Srila Prabhupada told us, if they knew when I came to America what I was about to do, they would have killed me. Because I was coming to undermine the whole material civilization of Maya and illusion. Similarly, Haridas Thakur, the caste Brahmins, who were very proud of their birth, who were very learned in the scriptures, and was using the facilities God had given them simply as a business to exploit and mislead people without a trace of devotion. They were very threatened by Haridas Thakur. In fact, one time, a very learned Brahmin. He heard Haridas leading beautiful kirtans of the holy name, and he became very, very angry. And he began to challenge in public Haridas Thakur that you are ruining the Vedic civilization. Do you not know that the name of God and these mantras, they are secret? They are only meant for the twice born. And they are to be chanted silently within the solitude of our heart. They should never be chanted loudly. No undeserving person should ever hear the name, because it spoils the potency of the name. And Srila Haridas Thakur explained, on the basis of Shastra, that chanting loudly the holy name of Krishna has 1,000 times more benefit than chanting silently within your mind. And in this age of Kali Yuga, the only process which is possibly effective to overcome the influences of Kali is the loud congregational chanting of the holy name. But the Brahmin became very angry. He would not listen. He insulted Haridas Thakur. He said, if this is true, I don't believe it. It cannot be true. If it is untrue, you must suffer terrible pain. And Haridas Thakur, knowing that this man would not listen to anything, he simply smiled, and with a compassionate heart and folded palms, he walked away. And the devotees of the Lord, when they saw Haridas, they were feeling so aggrieved in their heart of how he was misused and insulted and threatened and even cursed. And Haridas Thakur said, no, we must be compassionate to these ignorant people, but we should never give up faith. And there should be no power on all the earth that intimidates us, to makes us even hesitate for a second from coming together to loudly chant the holy name. On another occasion, at this time we know, India was under the Mughal rule, especially in Bengal. In a place called Fulia, which is not far from Shantipur in the Nadia district of Bengal, Haridas Thakur was attracting thousands and thousands of people from every walk of life. And there was one Kaji, and he was terribly, terribly envious of Haridas. And he went to the governor, and he explained that this man must be killed. He is ruining our religion's traditions. So there was an order to arrest him, to imprison him. When Haridas Thakur came into the prison house, all the prisoners were so happy. Because in those days, the prisoners were actually the most pious people in the town. The people who wanted to practice real religion and chant the holy names of Krishna, they were all being arrested and put in prison as criminals. So all these people, they were suffering. They were being tortured, in poverty, practically starving. But when they heard the news that Thakur Haridas, the great savior of the world and the proponent of the chanting of Hari Kirtan was coming, they became so happy, blissful, and hopeful. They all made arrangements so that they could meet him. When Haridas came into the prison, they all, with eyes full of desperate desire to find shelter in his blessings, they looked toward him. They bowed down and they begged, "Please give us your blessing." And he said, "Yes, I bless you that you remain exactly in the position that you were in right now." And they were shocked. They wanted the blessing that they could get out of this wretched prison. And he was telling them that my blessing is you stay where you are. So very silently, their hearts were broken. They were in great distress. What type of blessing is this? And Haridas could understand. And he explained that actually, this whole material world is a prison. And everyone is under the shackles of the three modes of material nature. And everyone is bound by the results of their past fruitive activities, pious or sinful. Only a very fortunate person realizes the suffering of this prisoned condition and attempts to get out. So you know you're in prison. The rest of the world is in such illusion that they think that they're free. But right now, you are looking toward a sadhu, begging for his mercy and seeking shelter at his lotus feet. And only if one comes to this stage of life and never gives up this consciousness can he be freed from the clutches of birth and death. Therefore, my benediction is you always remain where you are in your consciousness, at the lotus feet of a sadhu, begging for his blessings and ready to chant the holy names of the Lord. And then he explained, but in a few days you will be free from this prison. Then he was brought in before the Qazi and the governor. And when the governor saw the beauty of Haridas Thakur, there was nothing but peace and love and gentle compassion emanating from every limb of his beautiful form. And with great respect and folded palms, he offered his pranams to his enemies. And the Qazi said, "He is ruining our religious principles. He is converting people of other faiths to Hindus. And he is destroying the Brahminical class by loudly chanting the holy names of the Hindu gods. He must be punished and he must be killed." And the governor asked him, "All I'm asking you, Haridas, is just stop this preaching of Hari Kirtan and I'll let you free today. What do you have to say?" Thakur Haridas replied that there is only one God for all religions. We are not talking of different gods. And according to one's nature, one will naturally surrender to the Lord who is to the form of the Lord that is attracting his heart. And my heart has been captured by the beautiful form and name of Lord Sri Krishna. Therefore, there is no power on earth that can change my disposition of being a devotee of Lord Krishna. And the nature of a devotee of Krishna is he must be kind to all fallen souls. And the greatest charity, the greatest gift of love we can offer anyone is giving them the opportunity to be released from birth and death, to be situated in pure divine loving service to the Lord by the chanting of the holy name. He said that if you want to cut my body into 1,000 pieces, every one of those pieces will be loudly chanting the holy names. Take each one of those little tiny pieces and cut it into 1,000 pieces. Every one of those molecular pieces will be chanting the holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
And if you take each one of those molecular pieces and divide it into millions of pieces, and every little piece will be loudly chanting the Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Can you imagine what a wonderful kirtan it would be with all those billions of little pieces all chanting together the holy names? Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki. Now, if you like, you can deal with me in any way you please. You can punish me according to whatever way suits you, laws. He was sentenced to be beaten with whips to all 22 marketplaces of Puglia. And the executioners, brutal, violent demons, they began to beat him and beat him. And they were spitting on him and they were kicking him and they were shouting very loudly and aggressively the most harsh, obscene, and violent blasphemies against him. And they dragged him by the hair and beat him and whipped him through one marketplace and the next and the next. And as he was being beaten and blasphemed, the people around, they couldn't tolerate it. The pious people were holding the lotus, the terrible feet of these violent executioners. Please stop. Beat me instead. He's an innocent man. If you do this, our whole village, our whole nation will be destroyed. But these men were so envious, nothing could change their hearts. But through all this beating and all this whipping, from sunrise to sunset, Haridas Thakur, not even for a second, stopped the chanting of the holy name. At the end of the day, these executioners, they were so tired that their arms could not even move. And they spoke that Haridas, there has never been a man who's ever lived past two or three marketplaces. You not only survived for all these hours through all 22, but whenever we looked at you, you were looking at us not as if you were in pain, but as if you were feeling sympathy for our pain. You were looking at us with love and compassion. There was never the slightest trace of anger or disappointment in your face. And not even for a second did you ever stop chanting the holy names. But because you are living and we have failed to kill you, the Kaji will have us killed. So Thakur Haridas, feeling great sympathy for them, he said, if my being alive is a disturbance to you, then I will die just now. Just look and see. And he lay down and all of the symptoms of his life disappeared. He went into a state of deep samadhi. So they were wondering, should we bury him as a Muslim or should we burn him as a Hindu? And they decided, he's such a bad person. He doesn't deserve either one. We should just throw him in the river like a piece of garbage. So when they went to pick up his body, it was so heavy that 20 men could not lift it. But then somehow or other, they threw it in the river Ganges. And he sunk. And he floated downstream. And after a few minutes, he came back to his external consciousness. And he came out of the Ganges chanting the holy names. And the devotees, they met him. And they were so happy that he lived and he survived. But they were so sad that he had to endure such punishment. But Haridas Thakur was so humble. He explained to them, actually, getting beaten through those 22 marketplaces was a proper reaction for what I had done. Because do you remember that day that one Brahmin, he was blaspheming the loud chanting of the holy name so terribly. He was calling the holy Sankirtan of the holy name irreligious. Because I heard that blasphemy to the holy name, therefore, it was just a minimum reaction that Krishna gave me by beating me through these 22 marketplaces. But Krishna is so kind that he saved me. So now, let us all very loudly chant the holy names of Krishna. When the news spread, the governor and all the priests that had him executed, they bowed at his lotus feet, they surrendered to him, and they prayed, please, we beg you, forgive us for our offenses. We can understand that you are truly the greatest of all saintly persons. Give us your blessings, that we can be relieved of our offenses, and that we can achieve love of God. And Haridas Thakur told them, you just chant the holy names. Later on, after Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his divine mission of spreading the Sankirtan movement in Srinavadvip Dham. At the house of Srivas Pandit, he was fulfilling everyone's desires. And he called Haridas Thakur. And he revealed to Haridas Thakur his beautiful form of Sri Krishna, Shyam Sundar. And Haridas Thakur, who is the embodiment of humility, always considered himself the most fallen, simply fell on the ground in obeisance at the lotus feet of the Lord. And Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu explained, "Do you remember, Haridas? Do you remember the time when those terrible demons were beating you and spitting upon you and blaspheming you? At that time, I descended from Vaikuntha and I took my Sudarshan Chakra and I was determined to sever those demon rascals' heads. But my determination to kill them was checked by your compassion. Because the whole time they were beating you, you were praying to me, 'Please, my Lord, forgive them. Please, my Lord, be kind upon them and give them your loving service.' The power of your compassion defeated the power of my anger to kill them, and my chakra would not move from my finger despite how hard I tried to kill them. Therefore, Haridas, in order to protect you, I personally covered your body with my own body." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu opened his outer cloth and revealed to Haridas Thakur and to all the devotees present that all the scars of the beating that were meant for him were on the beautiful golden form of Sri Gaurasundara Mahaprabhu. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki! Kaunteya bhakti prajan name bhakta pranashati. In this story, we find the extreme extent that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is willing to protect his devotee, to take the sufferings upon himself. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered Haridas any benediction in all of the creation, and he would fulfill it. "What is your desire, Haridas?" He replied that, "I only have one desire, that in every birth you will give me the remnants of the food and the dust of the feet of your devotees. That is all I require. Because in the sacred remnants of the food of the devotees and the dust of their feet, in the service of the Vaishnavas, I can best please you. And that is the fulfillment of all my desires. Because if I please you by kindly serving the Vaishnavas, I will always have the qualification by your mercy to chant the holy names." So in the life of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, as we have explained, and in the life of Sri Thakur Haridas, we have found the personification of this most blessed and essential verse of the Bhagavad Gita. O best among men, Arjuna, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress and is steady in both is certainly eligible for liberation. Srila Prabhupada explained to us that the greatest of all forms of tapasya is simply to continue one's humble service the Guru and the Vaishnavas, despite all material circumstances. We are not concerned with great processes of fasting, or going in severe cold weather, or in severe heat, or in abstaining and destroying our body, or emaciating it. These austerities may give us material powers or mystic powers. And the only approach to Krishna is through pleasing Him. Sa evayam mayate yam yoga prokta puratana bhaktosi me shakacheti rahasyam hetadutamam. It is only through bhakti that we can understand Krishna or His words. What is bhakti? That whatever Guru and the Vaishnavas, whatever they give us as a service, to please them, that is the supreme austerity in all creation. And in the process of endeavoring to please Guru and Krishna and the devotees, we should be willing to continue our service, continue following the principles of our sadhana, despite any material condition that may come upon us. This is the supreme austerity of life. And Srila Prabhupada explained that the greatest of all sacrifices and the most important of all forms of tapasya is to regularly chant the holy names. Guru Maharaj said, of all instructions in all of our books, the attentive chanting of 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day is most important. But unless we humbly associate and serve the Vaishnavas, we cannot chant the holy name in the proper consciousness. Nor will Krishna agree to manifest Himself in the holy name. Therefore, the humble service of the devotees and regular disciplined chanting of the holy names is the greatest and most powerful austerity and sacrifice. And it is the only means of achieving pure devotion in this age of Kali Yuga. So I am so happy and so grateful to Radharas Bihariji, to Srila Prabhupada and all the devotees, that Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir and Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari Mandir and all the devotees have come together in loving devotion to dance together, to share Krishna Katha together, to take prasad together, to dance together, and to chant together the holy name. Feel that this is a most wonderful offering at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada to begin the preparations of his centennial celebrations, that we can all express our love and trust for one another and assist one another in Guru Maharaj's divine mission of inducing all of Bombay, all of Maharashtra, all of India, all of Asia, and all the world to chant the holy names of Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare.
In the American language, it is said that absence makes the heart grow fonder. So, we are, on behalf of all the devotees of Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir, I'd like to say that we are so grateful and happy to be here today with all of you. Thank you very much.